holding the line for the conservative movement. This is Stacey on the Right on Sirius XM Patriot 125.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Welcome back to Stacey on the Right here on SiriusXM, and welcoming freshly into the show for the Christmas season, Sergeant Betsy Branner Smith, retired. She's spokesperson for the National Police Association. Sergeant Betsy, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Stacey, thanks so much for having me for your last show before Christmas, right?
Yes, last program before Christmas. And I have to say, if I was going to pick someone I want to talk to, it would be you, because the fresh update as we are all running around shopping and engaging in all of the wonderful madness of the holiday season, a lot of people have changed their habits a little bit because of crime. And so it's a great time for us to kind of catch up on that. And retail crime is actually still a serious issue in the country, even though Biden says we're supposed to be overjoyed with Bidenomics.
Well, I got to tell you, when Forbes Advisor did this fantastic, really comprehensive study on how theft affects businesses and how it affects people. And it's so extraordinary because as you go through this study, and I encourage everyone to do it, that the National Retail Federation reported that, of course, in 2023, more retailers in America felt that organized retail theft was one of their highest priorities. Nearly 80% of those stores said that, this is our biggest problem. And when you look at retail theft, the five states and one district that are most impacted are Washington State, Washington, D.C., Maine, Hawaii, and Pennsylvania. What do all those states have in common, Stacey?
Well, Democrat leadership, I think.
There you go. The states least impacted by retail theft, Wyoming, Idaho, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama. In fact, three out of those five are in the South. And again, all five of those states tend to be conservative, tend to have armed citizens out and about, you know, tend to have very few, if any, Soros-installed prosecutors. But I got to tell you, when you look at the not just the financial impact on this, you know, businesses, but exactly what you said, lots of us are running around. I was doing it today, shopping in and out of stores, things like that. And you have to be so aware as a consumer, as a shopper, about what's going on around you. And you have to put your packages in your trunk. And you have to think, oh, boy, am I going to be in this, you know, Ulta or Target or whatever, where a gang of thugs is going to come in and start attacking the security guard and pushing people down to, you know, steal different items. And in addition to organized retail theft, there's a lot of different credit card scams. Gift card scams are absolutely huge. And some of that is related to immigration, by the way. There have been a couple of Chinese nationals in the country illegally who have been arrested for that, and the money is going straight to China. So in the most joyous season in our country, crime is still, of course, an issue.
It's an issue. And when you talk about Chinese nationals and people who are in the country illegally, we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot, because a closed up border means less crime. So if people are upset about crime, if they don't like what's going on, they have to look at the southern border and understand that every single day they're paroling, I think it's 1,800 people into the country and flying them to their city or destination of choice. And so every day we're importing more criminals. We're literally asking for more crime.
Well, you're so right. And again, you know, as I sit here 80 miles from the southern border, I just want to let people know that, because kind of the alarm is kind of getting sounded finally around the country about all these people that are coming into this country that we have no idea who they are. It's not hype, everyone. It is real. the airports here in my area, both in Phoenix and Tucson, southern Arizona, are full of undocumented illegal immigrants that are traveling by air, and of course they're going by bus and other ways too, but you see them in the airports. And quite frankly, with the tens of thousands of these migrants getting released into this country, we know that these many of these countries are not sending, quote unquote, their best and brightest. And then, for example, in my native Chicago, many of the migrants who are frustrated that they don't have housing, they don't have jobs, they're hooking up with the street gangs. So they're going right into the criminal life because either they feel they have no choice or that's where they came from in their native country.
So this was something that has been discussed a few times since, you know, over the past 3 years since we had the opening of our southern border. And that is that some nations are opening up their prisons and sending the prisoners, the criminals, the hardened criminals that they are feeding and housing, they're just sending them here, which would explain why people coming over the southern border aren't looking for work. They're finding the criminal element and joining in.
Well, and we, for those of you who, you know, study history, if we go back to the Marielito boat lift where Castro did the same thing in Cuba. He opened up his mental health asylums. He opened up his prisons. They came here. And that is one of the big things that led to our 1990s crime spike. We went from, you know, back then I was, you know, very young police dispatcher, actually, when that was all going on. And we went, for example, in Las Vegas to just a few shootings every couple of months to, you know, a shooting almost every day. And this, you know, we already have this attack on our criminal justice system, the vilification of our law enforcement officers. 9 out of 10 police departments are shorthanded. And we're releasing all these additional people into this country whom we have no idea who they are. And again, at a time when, since October 7th, we have this renewed concern about radical Islam and Islamic terrorism, to the point where even Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, is talking about red lights everywhere. So we have that to worry about. It's the, you know, the highest Christian holiday now. And, you know, Christians are under attack. We're just at the tail end of Hanukkah. Jews are under attack. And this all falls on the American law enforcement officer to deal with this. Plus, of course, it's the time of year for, you know, we're talking about theft, but also domestic violence, things like that. It's a very difficult time for law enforcement, and it can be a difficult time for our citizens.
Yeah, and it's an unnecessarily difficult time because we already have crime in our country. All countries have crime, but it is utter folly to say that we should import criminals, that we should open the border to people who have a high percentage of the criminal element within them, just open the border, not figure out who they are. The latest from ICE and Customs and Border Patrol Homeland Security is that they use the CBP app to basically stand up an identity for each of these illegal aliens. And then it's like a circular firing squad because the CBP app is the source of the information that is cobbled together from the illegal aliens themselves. They then use the CBP app to the information from that app to create identification cards that they can use when they get to their final destination to work and get access to government services and probably to vote if we allow the Democrats to have their way. So the only source of the information that we're using is the word of people who are breaking into the country illegally. Meanwhile, every time Sergeant Betsy or radio host Stacy goes to the airport, I have to show a government-issued ID that has been vetted and checked within an inch of my life, and they know it's me because it's the same information I use to pay taxes. Because it's an unbelievable slap in the face to American citizens for this to be going on.
It absolutely is, and it's so incredibly frustrating because, again, when you see these people, they have brand new clothes, brand new luggage, you know, and this, and of course, a brand new iPhone because they have that CBP app. And people need to understand this. There are so many other illegals. These are the illegals we're seeing at the airport are just the illegals who have turned themselves over to the Border Patrol or, you know, here in Southern Arizona. Of course, we have the National Guard doing a lot of the processing and things like that. But so many of these people who are wanted for murder in their home countries, so they're going to be in our database, or they are on our terror watch list. Those people are the ones that escape detection, and it's so easy to do on the southern border. I mean, we see video after video after video of what's happening here in Arizona and Texas and the, you know, the other border states, but they are walking right through. They are absolutely undetected or unharassed, if you will, by the Border Patrol or anyone else. And now they are in this country completely unknown and undetected at a time, again, when we already have high crime, we're already incredibly concerned about terrorism. And again, we're not in a very good economy, and all these people are coming here expecting to get jobs or expecting to get taken care of by, you know, the American government. And it's causing a lot of tension in, you know, cities around this country, including Chicago and New York and, you know, here in Tucson, Arizona. It's causing homelessness. But we have this tension where there are people, and you can see video after video when you look at Chicago, of people who are angry because they don't feel like their government is doing anything to take care of them. And the government is spending all these resources on people who are breaking the law just to get here. And I really believe, especially as the weather continues to get colder and the economy continues to take this downward turn, that, you know, we're going to have, you know, open fighting, anger, and again, additional crime committed. And these migrants, some of them are going to commit crimes. Some of them are going to be victims of crimes. And a lot of them came here to be safer. And I don't believe they're going to be safer.
You know, that's actually, I mean, I would feel sad for those people, but they're law breaking in order to feel safe, right? So, you know, I had a little bit of space in my heart reserved for people because you think to yourself, well, what must they be trying to escape in their own countries? But the answer to crime in your country is not to commit a crime in another country. And we're talking about, you know, 7 million additional people at this point, but at 1,800 a day and 527,000 encounters over the last 90 days, those are, again, the numbers we have, not the gotaways. We're looking at an untenable situation. The literal complete transformation of our country, like literally transforming it in a 3-year period into something unrecognizable. I mean, ramifications will go on long after Biden has left this earth. We'll still be dealing with this. There's no way to look at it and say, well, at least we, right? You know, as a mom, I'm always looking for a silver lining. There just isn't one here.
Well, and even if we, let's say we get a Republican, you know, president and legislature in place that says, you know, okay, that's it, we're closing the border, et cetera, just the sheer logistics of doing mass deportations is going to just be something extraordinary, something we've never had to do in this country before. So that if we ever get to that point, how are we going to do that? And so that's something that everyone needs to really think about, because again, this is an untenable situation. We have been calling this a crisis for what, 6 months now? And it's gone beyond crisis. And you bring up such a good point that these are people that are going to ultimately show up at the voting booth in November. And, you know, with their now government-issued ID, and they're going to want to vote, and some elections, they're going to be allowed to vote, at least in local elections. And that mucks up our entire federal election process. And it's just going to be a disaster of proportions that exactly what you said, Stacey, we are going to have a difficult, if not almost impossible time turning back the clock.
Yep. And so, you know, the turning back of the clock, Sergeant Betsy, I did watch a video from Numbers USA some years ago, and they were talking about, you know, whenever we talk about mass deportations, there's a kind of a thought and people, you know, in your mind, you have these, you envision, you know, knocking on doors, SWAT teams, that type of stuff. But he said there is a natural self-deportation that occurs for a certain percentage of people who are in the country illegally, because when they understand that they're no longer going to be permitted to break the law, many of them self-deport. They do so because they don't want to be rounded up. They don't want to be sent to a country that they don't recognize. You know, there's so many things logistically that can go wrong that they self-deport. Not all of them, but a percentage of them will do that. And the self-deportation takes the form of many different things. It's not always just, you know, walking across the southern border. No, they're gonna get on planes. They're gonna fly out. They're gonna, you know, go to other countries. Eventually, make it back to their home country. Maybe, maybe not. But there's a whole different migratory process that will be in effect. And so I know that, you know, it sounds bleak, but when a nation returns to law and order, there are some benefits that naturally flow out from that return. And so we can't shy away from it. We have to be very firm and vigilant. President Trump has talked about what he plans to do if he's able to get reelected, which I certainly hope and pray is what we're going to see next. And then we'll just have to continue to pound this thing. Hard work doesn't get done by giving up. It gets done by getting up every day and you put a little bit more effort in. You put a little bit more effort in. On tired days, it might not be 100%, but you are shooting for as high a percentage of work accomplished as you can. And we're going to see that.
I think you're right. And then hopefully we as a country will have the intestinal fortitude to take on the Mexican drug cartels, you know, once and for all and stop it. They're literally making more money now from the trafficking of illegals. You know, not a single illegal gets into this country without the Mexican drug cartels knowing about it. They all have their wristbands. They all have to pay their money. And hopefully we will be able to take them on as well when we do eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, close our southern border to not just stop the flow of fentanyl and other illegal drugs and the trafficking of children, of women, of human beings in this country, but just to return our nation to its sovereign status and push them back into Mexico and let the Mexican authorities deal with them on that side. We will deal with them on our side, and there will be a clear delineation as we do exactly what you said, Stacey, return to law and order.
I for one can't wait. I know that it's going to be a tough slog, but I think that it will be easier. As tough as it might be, returning to law and order is going to be easier than living in a lawless state as we have been for the past 3 years under Biden. And people have to want it. You know, I hate to see it have to get bad in our country before people will come to their senses, but people voted for Biden. People wanted him in. They allowed people to vote illegally so that they could get Biden. This is the result of that. And if they want differently, they'll have to vote differently. And so we'll see what happens in 2024. In any case, that's what I'm going to speak to you again next, my friend. And so I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for being such a huge part of our show here at SiriusXM Patriot. Really appreciate you, Sergeant Betsy.
Thank you, Stacey, so much. I'm excited about 2024. I really am. I think we're going to see a lot of good things happen.
Me too. I know it deep in my heart. I know we're going to see great things, and I cannot wait. Merry Christmas to you, and talk to you in 2024.
Thank you, Stacey.
All right, have a wonderful night, and we will be back with more Stacey on the Right, 866-957-2874. If you'd like to join in, we'll be right back. This is